Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you that you call us to yourself and that in the middle of difficult circumstances, you are still good. Help us today as we look again at how good you are to remember this. And, O Holy Spirit, come, be our teacher, be our guide. Renew us today. We pray that you would make your word sing in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. What if God has more for us? Have you ever wondered if the thing you're praying for is important to God, matters to Him? Have you ever avoided praying for a particular thing or experience or need because you're really not sure that God could be concerned? Or maybe you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and then kept praying for more of something and then stopped because it doesn't appear that God is answering you. William Barclay says that the underlying question really is what kind of a God we pray to. He asks this: do we pray to a grudging God out of whom every gift has to be squeezed or coerced? Is he a mocking God whose gifts may well be double-edged? In other words, he has a hidden agenda. Or a God whose heart is so kind that he is more ready to give than we are to ask? John Wesley had been in ministry for quite a number of years, and it was fruitless and frustrating, and he was also struggling with moral defeat in his life. And one day he stopped by a place called Aldersgate Chapel, and there he listened to a sermon about faith in Christ alone for salvation. And he said his heart was strangely warmed, and from that moment on, he sensed deeply that he had the faith of a child rather than the faith of a slave. What's your faith in God like today? Is your faith like that of a slave in a distant master or a child in a present loving God? You see, during this hillside sermon, Jesus is speaking to people whose lives are steeped in a tradition of prayer. Prayer was part of their lifestyle. They prayed about everything. And yet Jesus here is saying to them, there is more. There's something more to this. And here's how to approach God. He said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. God provides. We persist. Asking, seeking, knocking. These are the actions of someone who is dependent, not someone who is independent or self-sufficient. Really, seeking and knocking are extended metaphors for how to ask. Jesus gives one condition here: keep asking. Keep asking. Now, what's the mindset of someone who keeps on asking? It could be self-centered. James censured the church for not asking God, but then he said this, and when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Motives matter, and Jesus here is revealing that we are absolutely dependent on God. He doesn't tell them what to ask for. God knows what we need. In fact, Scripture says we don't even know how to pray sometimes. Do you ever feel that way? I don't know what to ask for in this situation. But the Apostle Paul affirms this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Keep asking for more because God is good. God is good. There is no such thing as expert prayer. There is just desperate prayer. Keep on asking, because God is good. Seeking means to align our values and our priorities with the will of God. See, God cannot act outside of His will, and so we need to align our prayer with His will for our lives, with His desire. Prayer is personal contact with the Lord Jesus, just as certainly as if you could see Him standing before you or seated with you in physical form. Schoenweiss says that true prayer must be in keeping with the nature of Him to whom it is addressed. He writes that to doubt God when we pray is to belittle Him and misjudge His character. True faith asks in prayer. James wrote about this. When you've got a particular need for wisdom, he said, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. God provides, we persist. So keep asking, because God is good. Another metaphor for asking is knocking, and knocking is persistent diligence. Carson explains, if the child prevails with a thoughtful father, it is because the father has molded the child to his way. In other words, this is not a picture of the child screaming or having a tantrum in the aisle of the store because she wants a particular toy and the parent relents. No, this is a picture of the child whose will has been molded and is in sync with the parents. For example, Jacob was returning to his home country, the promised land of Canaan, having left years before his family of origin. He gets to the river, he sends his families and his possessions on ahead, and then through the night, God appears to him in the very limited form of a man. And he wrestles with Jacob through the night. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And finally, the man consents, and he says, from now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. And Jacob named that place the face of God, Peniel. However, God not only met Jacob's need by giving him a blessing, but also He had touched Jacob's hip in a way that left him with a limp. And so God gave Jacob what he needed, but not without prevailing over him with power. The encounter reveals our dependence on God and how He molds us to His will. God provides. We persist. A.B. Simpson, who was the founding pastor of our family of churches, told the story of a huge bell that was of great value to a Buddhist temple in the East. And during a war, this bell became submerged in a river. It sank to the bottom. And no amount of engineering or thought managed to get it out of the water. It was greatly treasured. Finally, one of their priests got his assistants to gather a huge number of bamboo shoots. As you know, they are extremely buoyant. One by one, divers took these down and attached them to the bell, until eventually, when thousands of them were attached, the bell broke loose from the bottom and floated to the surface of the river. Persist, because God provides. Keep on asking, because God is good. Yet we don't always receive what we ask for. Jesus is emphasizing persistence, but He isn't depicting God as an auto dispenser just because we want something. Yes, we persist, and it's God who provides, but it's because of His kindness and His grace. He's never in a trade deficit with us. We don't have a free trade agreement with God in which He somehow is in a deficit position ever because we've asked enough. So why doesn't God give us everything we ask for? Jesus isn't finished here. He goes on to say, you parents, If your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? God protects while He provides. Jesus made the point, even as a sinful parent, I know how to give good gifts to my children. Here's a reason why God doesn't give us everything we ask for. It's because He is inherently good. If a child in first grade cries out to her mother and persistently asks for a Harley Davidson because it looks like fun, a loving mother will mitigate that, not give the Harley Davidson to the child, but give something else that is appropriate and not harmful or dangerous to that child. God doesn't mock us or play games with us in prayer, just as a good parent doesn't ridicule a child who makes a sincere request. God's goodness gives goodness. Psalm 84:11 says, "The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." James echoes this goodness theme. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. There is something about one's love for a child which makes one give something good to the child. One could be guilty of criminal behavior in business, fraud, for example, yet still deeply love one's child so much that he or she would go out of one's way to give the best to the child. God is always good. Now, we inherit both strengths and weaknesses from human parents. We have gifts, abilities, tendencies that are good. We also have some that are not. Ultimately, we've also inherited this sinful bent or nature that sometimes trends us away from doing what we know we should do, or trends us to do what we know we shouldn't. And so we have this broken part, fallenness, we call it. King David, likely reflecting on some of the damaged parts of his own soul, said this as he looked over the human race and said, "Is there anybody here who's truly wise and who seeks God?" And he says, "But no, all have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one." But even though God's image is tarnished and fallen in humanity and we cannot save ourselves, atheists still love their children. It's an interesting fact that you can deny the existence of God and yet illustrate His image at the same time. But for those who turn to the living Christ from sin and receive His soul cleansing, conscience clearing goodness and forgiveness, God gives a seat at the family table. So we pray within the family circle, at the family table, not as outsiders. Here's how God guided the Apostle Paul to express this or describe this place at the family table. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He does not love us from a distance. He brought us instead to the family table through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we enjoy this place of belonging where He gives us His own goodness. He protects while He provides because He's good. Simon Ponsonby, when he was 12 years old, said that he got to go out of school for a day so that he could go and visit his mother in the council chambers where she worked. And he said, after spending the morning listening to boring debates about drains and roads and things he didn't understand, a wealthy friend decided to take them for lunch. And so when they got to the place they were having lunch, The wealthy friend said to Simon, "Would you like a Coke?" And Simon, at 12 years of age, said, "No, thank you, but I would very much like one of your expensive cigars." His mother was aghast and rebuked him, but the wealthy friend smiled and took out an expensive leather container, and out of that took an expensive cigar and handed it to Simon, who promptly took it and left the table before his mother could do anything else, rustled up a match and went outside and lit his cigar. And he said the smell was so foul that it put him off cigars for the rest of his life. But he said he learned an important principle. That is that when you ask, you might just get what you're asking for. And that, in fact, you should probably be sure you want what you're asking for. He said, similarly, God, our Heavenly Father, loves us so profoundly and deeply that He delights when we come to Him with this almost presumptuous boldness. Keep asking because God is good. Keep asking for more because God is good. And God provides through His perfection. We, on the other hand, provide through our perception. But God knows everything. God is all-knowing, all-wise. He has unlimited resources and knowledge. On the other hand, our perceptions are limited. And so what we might give to someone, a child, for example, might reflect more what we feel the need is, or what we think, or what our need is, rather than the real need. It happens between parents and children sometimes. It happens between friends. Sometimes we give out of our own love language, not that of the person who's receiving. We give out of our perception, but God gives only out of His perfection. The Apostle Paul summarized his prayer saying, "Now all glory to God who is able through His mighty power to working within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Sometimes I've been in difficult situations or circumstances where I've asked God to change it or to move, make it different, and He has not. Instead, He's led me to a place where I could embrace His perfect presence right there in those circumstances, where I realized He was changing me, but also where He was just calling on me to be a change, to say, "I am exactly where you want me to be, when you want me to be there." Now, is that not a message for us today in the middle of COVID-19 and upheavals and questions about what should we be doing as the church? Should we be rebelling against government edicts? What if the Holy Spirit is saying, "No, you are exactly where I want you when I want you, and I am still on the throne, and I am still God." Keep asking God for more because He is good. And so we come to this place where we recognize that God is good and our perceptions aren't always that wise. In fact, our desires might even be dangerous, but God knows everything, and what He gives us for His good purpose, and we are to respond in trust and therefore live in peace. So God provides, we persist. God protects while He provides. And God provides from His perfection. In March of the year 2000, my father was hospitalized for a heart problem. And one day, he looked up from his bed and noticed that the man in the next bed was looking at him. And next to that man's bed sat that patient's wife, a tear rolling down her cheek. Dad knew that that gentleman had had a stroke and couldn't speak. And he was moved with compassion for both of them, the man and his wife. He knew something at that point about weakness. He got out of his bed and he approached the couple and he said to the lady, would it be all right if I pray with you? She immediately consented. And he simply prayed that God would restore the ability to this gentleman so that he could speak to, in Dad's words, his dear wife. The next day, when Dad awakened, he looked over at his new friend and he said, "Well, how are you doing today?" And the man replied without missing a beat, "I had the best night in a long time." An orderly who had just walked into the hospital room said, "That is the first time he has spoken in 2 months." That day, that man was transferred to another room, another ward. But before Dad was released from the hospital, he followed up with the nurse and asked after how this gentleman was doing. And she said, "He's still progressing in his ability to communicate." Dad quickly noted that he said, "It wasn't me. I was just in the hospital for a purpose. And I simply obeyed what God prompted me to do." The promise is not that if we perpetually and continuously nag God, he has to give us what we want. No, the promise is that we may continually and persistently ask him about anything and for anything because he is good. Do you avoid asking God because you don't think he listens, or you really question whether God is good, or perhaps you think he acts like you do, out of perception rather than out of perfection? He knows your needs. He does care. He loves you. Or do you stop asking for more because, well, you wonder about his capacity? And so in so doing, you have actually forgotten God and are living as though he is dead. But he loves you. Keep asking for more because God is good. You know, when we come together to celebrate the communion of our faith in Jesus Christ, we do so with the absolute certainty that God has more for us and that he has invited us to the family table. And that's what this is. This is his family table. And we come to the table acknowledging that he is good, that he has given his own son at great, great cost for us. And he invites us into this place in which we celebrate this great gift. I'm going to read from a very familiar passage in 1 Corinthians 11, words that you are familiar with, where the Apostle Paul records what happened when Jesus met with his disciples for that last meal together. And he said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We come to this family table because Jesus gave up his body for you and for me because of our distance from God, our sinfulness, that bent nature, that brokenness, so that he could restore us into relationship with God. And so when we, as believers in Christ, take the bread and eat it in remembrance of him, we do something that's more than merely a physical act of remembrance. We do something that calls forth our faith and that says, today, I serve the living Christ. Let's eat this together, remembering that we serve the living Christ who answers prayer. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes." We take the cup to remember the blood of Jesus. He poured out his life. He came, he walked among us, he became one of us. Felt what it was like to be lonely, felt isolation, felt the abuse of others, was cursed, distrusted, hated. And then he poured out his life on the cross. And the ultimate enemy of God and humanity, Satan, thought he'd won a victory that day, and yet the opposite was true. For the deceiver had been fooled by his own foolishness to think that someone could overcome and outweigh God. No. On that cross, as he died, Jesus Christ took my sin, yours, all of humanity's, and he died in order to restore the kingdom of God, the reign of God in this world. And he's called us out to be his, to demonstrate the reality of his presence right now, whatever our circumstances, because we believe that God is good. And so let's drink this together, acknowledging that our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Heavenly Father, we worship you and thank you because you are good. Help us persist because we know you provide. Thank you for protecting us while you provide. We don't even know how to pray sometimes. Thank you that you provide out of your perfection. Thank you. We trust you and pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us right now, to demonstrate and to carry the goodness of your name wherever we are. Bless those today who feel lonely and isolated. Oh Lord God, encourage them. Bless those who need to stir up the gifts that you've given them. Perhaps feel discouraged because they aren't seeing the outcomes they want. Lord, stir them up. Bless those who've been hurt and wounded. I pray that you would work a deep forgiveness and healing for them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon us as your church in renewal and power for your glory and honor, and call people forward to your kingdom. We believe you because you're good. In Christ's good name we pray. Amen.